takbo lang ng takbo.
Takbo lang ng takbo.
Habang may semento.
Habang may semento.
Kung walang semento.
Kung walang semento.
Gagawa tayo.
Gagawa tayo.
So let's have a good time. Let's sit down, start a conversation, and let that conversation run. Only here on Matt Runs. All right, guys. What's up, everybody? Mateo here. Another episode of Matt Runs. We have two guests with us this fine day, and thank you very much for being here, Tita and Doctora. Ladies, just let me introduce to you the lady on my right. She's known by Kat Belosilo. Hi, Tita.
Hi, Mateo. I'm happy to be here.
So beautiful, Tita.
Thank you.
Bringing sunlight to a dark room.
Thank you. You are so kind to a senior lady.
And of course, to my left, we have Dr. Ray Villa. Yeah,
correct.
Dr. Ray Villa. She's a...
I'm a clinical psychologist.
Yes, a clinical psychologist. This is the first time I'm ever sitting down and talking to a psychologist.
Interesting. Oh. Really? I will try not to read your mind.
Please do. Please do. Please do. If I have some defects, please let me know. Tita, you know, how did we get to this table and this discussion together? It was really weird that I met your daughter last week lang. During a phone call, she connected by a friend, and everything connected, and then this day happened. No? And I was doing my research and all, and I found out 1995, your kids were kidnapped.
Actually, 1994.
1994.
August.
Oh, wow.
It's August,
it's our
now.
Anniversary.
August, yes. 1994. Can you, yes, take me back to that day and what happened?
Well, our two sons... Paolo was 13 and John was 8. And then a nephew of mine, the car was abducted by armed men. They were with their yaya and the driver. And they were taken to a safe house. And that was the start of the ordeal. And they were held hostage for 9 days. And we got a phone call that said that we had taken your sons. At that time, I was in the hospital because Marga... my number 7 child. I have 8 children, Mateo.
Oh, wow.
She was confined for amebiasis. So I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a prank call. So I called Father Corkis at that time. Father, can you check if the children went to school?
How old were the children back then?
John was 8 and okay. Paolo was 13. And right away, he told me, oh, Mrs. Belosilio, I noticed they didn't attend mass because my sons would always... be there for the early morning mass. Mm.
And I said, they were going to school.
They're going to school that early morning. It was about 6:30 when it happened. So I said, Father, maybe they were just late. Can you please go and check the classrooms if they are there? And so after a few minutes, he called me back and said, oh, I'm sorry. The teacher said they're absent today.
Okay.
So, you know,
did you panic?
I had that sinking feeling in my heart that this must be true. So I started to pray already. And I called up the house and I said, where are the children? And they said, we don't know because the driver and Yaya had not come back. So we just waited the whole day. And at 9 p.m. that same day, 9 in the evening, I got a call from the kidnappers. I was home already.
A random call.
Yeah, they just said that we have your children. Be ready to prepare this amount of money. Don't tell this to the police because we're going to kill them if this comes out in the news and you will hear from us. Very brief.
Did you expect or have any idea na kidnap yung mga bata ko? Or maybe they just went somewhere? What was your feeling? What was going through your mind?
Well, when they told us that the children were not there anymore in the morning because someone had called the house.
Okay.
To say that they had the children, but I didn't want to believe it, no. So, when I was told by the principal that they hadn't gone to school, I had that feeling that perhaps it was true.
A kidnap.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was the time when there was a rash of kidnappings, but mostly Chinois at that time, no. So, you know, you hear all of this in the news, but when it happens to you, it sort of strikes, you know, this can't be happening to me, yeah, but it is happening to me. No, what is this all about? You know, those kinds of mixed emotions and thoughts.
But why would something like this happen to you, Tita? I mean, were you living a high-profile lifestyle?
No. Well, what I remember was my mother-in-law at that time was transacting the sale of a huge parcel of land, which was going to amount to a large amount of money.
Okay.
So that was the only thought that came to my mind.
Okay, so when you received that call, you answered the telephone, and then they asked for a ransom. And how did you go about?
Well, what happened was, of course, we asked for prayers, and we were very close to priests and nuns. One of my good friends, Father Sonny Ramirez, I'm sure you've heard of him. He comes out in Sharing the City before, but he had passed away. I asked him to pray for the children, and then he told me, Kate, we have to talk to Ping Lacson about this.
Okay.
And I said,
he was the one chief of police then.
He was in charge of the task force for the, to rescue kidnap victims and all this. And I said, oh, no, Father, we can't do that because the kidnappers were very explicit in their instructions not to mention it to the police because they said they were going to kill the children. He said, Kate, we have to tell him, and we don't have to tell anybody that you're talking to him. So he arranged for a private meeting with Ping. He's now Senator Ping, no? And I still remember that night he was with some of his men and then our family. He was very quiet, unassuming, very gentle person. He was listening to us. And then finally, he just gave instructions, okay, I'm going to assign these two soldiers to your house very quietly. We're going to bring them in so that not even the other household help would know, just the few trusted people in your home. Because, again, the thought that it might be an inside job, and then he said, they're going to guide you how to answer when the kidnappers call. So I'm very grateful to Senator Ping, actually, for the kindness, the concern that he extended to the family. And he gave me his personal number and said, Mrs. Belusilio, anytime that you feel you have to talk to me directly, just call me in this number. So we would communicate. And he gave us those two soldiers, assigned them to us. But I didn't know that he had assigned an entire team to the case already, because I was oblivious to what was happening outside of the house.
Did this come out in the news?
TV yes, afterwards. On? Afterwards, when the boys were released. Yeah, afterwards it came out.
So 9 days.
Nine days. It was like a novena. It was like, for me, it was like a novena. You know, Mateo, among the Catholics, we pray daily prayers for 9 days, and we call that a novena.
Yes,
and the priests and nuns would pray with us, family would pray with us, no? And I would get a call every day from the kidnappers asking, and I'd ask them how the children were, because the instructions to me was to prolong the conversation so they can be tracked.
Was the police there in your house with you tracking?
Yes. Yeah, but I can't talk about that in detail anymore. Yeah, but they were there helping us, trying to track. Yeah, they had equipment to do that.
Tita, can you take me back to day one? How did that feel?
I cannot forget that first night of day one, because gumagabi na, wala pa yung mga bata. And you know, I don't know, you'll be a parent soon. Meron na ba?
Wala pa, but pray for us, please.
You know, I think it's indescribable, the pain of a mother na hinahanap mo yung anak mo, hindi mo alam kung nasaan siya. Sila, are they safe? Are they crying? Are they afraid? Are they hurt? You know, and then dumidilim na, wala pa rin sila. And then the reality that this is it. It's true. Totoong nangyayari ito sa'yo. That was terrible. That's why I also had started to develop anxiety attacks. You know, I would tremble so much that my sister-in-law, Dina, who was with me all the time, would hold me down on the bed and embrace me. Yeah.
Day two, Tita, did anything change?
Day two, of course, we got a call from them. And the strategy of looking back now, the kidnappers is one of them will play good cop, another will play bad cop.
Ah, marami sila.
Madami sila eh. They were about 13, if I can remember. And yung nag-aalaga sa boys was the good cop. So I still remember him as Mang Ernesto. That's the name I can never forget.
He introduced himself as Mang Ernesto.
Yeah, but of course I knew that wasn't his name, no? And he would tell me that, you know, the boys are fine. We cook adobo for them. Yung mga ganun. I would say,
they were nice naman.
according to the boys, that man was nice to them. But the one who was mean was the head of the gang. Because he would, you know, threaten the driver, beat him up. And then, this is the one of the traumas of John. Can I go into that
now?
Because it was
John is
the youngest, the 8-year-old. He was the one who suffered the most severe trauma, even after they were released. Hindi niya makalimutan yung, may in-instruct sa kanya yung leader ng gang. Because there was one night, this was now moving forward, Mateo, no? Na-release na sila, sabi sa akin ng psychiatrist, bantayan mo yung actions ni John or what he says. And then one night when we were lying in bed, sabi niya, Mommy, it's a sin to kill people, right? I said, of course. And then he paused. And so, I knew right away that he wanted to tell me something. So I said, John, why are you asking me that? And if you kill someone, you're going to hell, right? I said, yes, because you're going to offend God. And then he said, because there was one time when the kidnapper told me that I will be the one to shoot our driver in the head if they don't get your money yet, the money from you yet. So that, you know, that stayed with him.
For an 8-year-old, that's hard to take
it. Yeah, doctora. Yeah. Maybe you can explain why.
Yeah, I mean, how did he digest that?
That's hard. Usually, if you have a psychological or emotional trauma, there is this extraordinary stressor that it exceeds your capacity to cope. So it's greater that you feel so helpless. You feel that your sense of security is shattered. So it could develop into PTSD if it's not addressed. But for an 8-year-old to see that realization, it must have been traumatic to the point that until now, do you still see signs wherein...
Well, what happens is he still has moments when he can't sleep well.
Up to today.
Yeah. It can be triggered by maybe stress at work. You know, something can trigger it.
Correct.
Dr. Freya.
Correct.
And then he will have again a bout of sleepless nights. You know, the trauma really never disappears. While it can lie low for a bit, they can feel better after several years. Further down the road, something can just trigger it and then, you know.
Here goes again.
I mean, what are the signs of this trauma? Hard time sleeping, anxiety attacks, what? Can you name
it? Basically, for John, it's a hard time sleeping.
Okay.
He wakes up, he has
nightmares.
I think so. He can't sleep deeply and restfully enough. So I told him, you know, you just pray. Because that's another beautiful thing, Doc. Now, I don't know if you can connect it to your work, but I taught my children the beauty of quiet prayer. Of going into the silence of their hearts, of meditating, you know, and finding peace in the silence and in solitude. That helped him. Yeah.
There's really a mind-body connection.
Yeah.
We usually look at health separately, like physical health, you watch what you eat, and then mental health, but it's all intertwined.
Correct.
The World Health Organization defined overall health using three components. That's the physical health, where we are all aware, because that also could be measured. The social well-being, how well do we interact with people around us, the community. And the last is mental health, which in your story, Tita, there are really signs of distress, trauma. But we need to also find that connection between mind and body, and that would take self-awareness. The tricky part about mental health, there's no barometer where you're at. Not unlike physical health, if you don't feel well, there's a thermometer. Mm. And you say, sinat lang, I'll just sleep it off. Or if it's lagnat, I'll take medications or hopefully COVID test or something. But with mental health, where am I? Am I already depressed? Am I already having anxiety disorders? So the key to really taking care of your mental health is to take a preventative stance.
Which is...
Stressors will pile up if it's not processed or not solved. Okay. Usually, the stigma or the misconception about seeing a psychologist is you go when you're already at your breaking point, right?
Here in the Philippines, but that's in America,
true.
It's normal.
I think it's normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to advocate as a clinical psychologist is to seek mental health help when the stressors are already piling up. Because if it's a stressor, 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 you only have a certain threshold where you could take it all in. And that's where it could lead to adjustment disorders, to anxiety-related disorders, depression, or PTSD. So the idea is to really seek help from a psychologist or psychiatrist to address these triggers.
I mean, times like now, especially because of the pandemic and all, a lot of people has been speaking up on mental health, right? But back in the day, for men, it's a macho thing not to say, you know, I'm going through something.
Diba?
Yeah, I mean, how do you know if it's OA or it's reality? How do you distinguish that?
That's a good question. But in principle, whatever the person is saying or feeling, that's valid because that's their narrative.
Okay.
We cannot invalidate that and say, ay, mababaw yan, or just suck it up, right? We need to have a game changer here, a change in perspective wherein we are more conscious and create a safe place for them to open up. Kasi usually, heightened emotions pa lang siya. I mean, they're in that state. So when you listen to them, when you provide that safe place, pag bumaba yung emotions, then the therapy or the advice will penetrate. So at the height of the emotional distress, kasi nasa crisis siya, let's just allow them to vent or to open up and not suspend judgments.
Does it also take a lot? Like for example, Tita was saying this this supplement was really helpful for her son and all. But is it the food, the supplement, the culture, the surrounding, the friends? This is the environment. Does it play a big part of somebody being depressed or not?
Correct. So as a psychologist, we look at the biopsychosocial model to check where is the trigger coming from. Because it dun lang iikot. Is it biological, like na neurotransmitters? For example, insomnia, may insomnia na siya, right? So clearly, there's a biological aspect involved already. So kailangan ng supplements or medication to lower it down. It could also be psychological, like your thinking patterns are negative na, diba? Because of, let's say, a romantic breakup that lasted years or nawalan ka ng trabaho, diba? So of course, it would ruminate leading towards anxiety or pwede rin environmental, like am I in a toxic working environment or is my family medyo a stressor pala yon. So depending on those factors, we now determine a treatment plan as a psychologist. Okay, let's address these things using, kasi ito yung mga triggers mo, so all of it could lead to a mental health condition when partnered with a stressor and kung gaano ka vulnerable. Kasi baka when you grew up, baka your coping mechanisms are not refined. So, i-check din yun. So, ibig sabihin, you're more vulnerable to stress. So, we're all unique. So, it's all those components that we check to see, okay, how will we give a treatment plan?
But is it more on advice, on consultation, on telling, hey, you have to do this, or hey, I'm gonna give you a prescription and take this?
Mm-hmm. Good question again. As a psychologist, there are some clients that are medyo strong. Okay? So the approach would be, okay, client-centered. Okay, I'll process these things, pili ka. But there are some people who are not as assertive that needs more purposive kind of therapy. So it's really case to case.
But doesn't these medicines doctors give just numb the pain and make the individual a zombie, kumbaga?
For example, with antidepressants,
it would
affect your emotional state.
Okay.
Kasi we escalate to a psychiatrist if the talk therapy isn't working kasi may biological component. So the medications would have to lower muna whatever biological state they are in, okay, and then partnered with psychotherapy. So it has,
so it's a pro, it's really a journey. It's not like a 1, 2, 3, 4 times thing.
Yes, wala ring limit, like this person 5 lang, ito 10 session. So it's really dynamic, and then we're not magicians. We also could not read minds. Usually pag psychologist, magaling ka siguro to read minds or something. No, we don't have that. So it's still scientific based. We also have a battery of tests that need to be conducted to verify, I mean, where are you in the spectrum of a mental health condition?
Tita, after the 9th day when they were released, no?
Yes.
How did that feel? How did that?
Of course, you know, there was so much joy, rejoicing because the boys are back, mm-hmm. no? And I can never forget that day.
They were all unhurt.
Unhurt. Okay. Unhurt. But inside, the wounds were deep. That's the difficult thing.
Yes.
Now, physically, of course, it hurt that they were, their hands were tied, their feet were tied. But after a while, they took that off, no? And they took off the blindfolds. But it's really the wounds in the soul, in the heart, that's terrible, you know, like the journey with John for healing after happened a long time. Kaya, for the mothers, no, I really would like to share with you na you have to listen to what your children say. You have to find time to be with them. Listen to their stories. Kasi yun ang sabi ng doctor sa akin eh. Be with him as much as you can and listen, no? To what he says. And observe, and then let's discuss. That kind of a very cordial arrangement with the doctor. Kasi when John was gonna go back to school already, he couldn't go to school for...
After how many months? Did he go back after a week? Or
no.
How long did it take him?
After a month or two, I think. Because every time... we would try to bring him to school. Pag malapit na siya sa school, he starts vomiting.
Mm.
So we bring him back home. Okay?
Just him?
Just him. And then, we try again a week after. Aabot na siya sa school. Pag nakita na niya yung principal, susukahan niya yung principal. Uwi na naman siya. Yung ganun ba? Vomiting was his expression that I'm not okay. And then that got corrected after a while. Ang sinabi ko sa kanya is, John, you know, mommy cannot be with you all the time, but God is there all the time. You know, Our Lady is with you all the time. You hold on to that thought, no? And then another thing that happened was, in one of those nights that he couldn't sleep, iiyak siya, then tinanong niya ako yung, when will this fear ever go away? How does a parent answer that?
How did you answer that?
Sabi ko, Lord, paano ko ba to sasagutin, no? And then the words came out from my mouth na, you know, I don't know John, but one thing I know for sure, there's someone bigger than your fear, and that is God. And at this time, that's all we hold on to. And that would give him some peace.
I know John personally, and I think, Tita, coming from you, yung the spiritual influence, John is very close to God because of, I think, that that frame of thinking. So it was a good coping mechanism that gave him hope for him to transcend it. Kasi he's supposed to be a brother or a priest, right?
Yeah, nag-search in siya parang ganon. Only to realize na he can also continue to serve God outside, no? Yeah.
But that early exposure to spirituality, I think, lasted until now. He's very in touch with God, with their relationship. And for everyone, if you see that it's effective, that coping strategy is effective, just retain it. No? So may it be a relationship with God, may it be finding solitude on being alone. Okay, so find that thing to balance it off with everything that's uncertain nowadays because of the pandemic.
And then also, I encourage him to eat right.
That's true.
To eat right. To live healthy. To exercise. You know, in whatever form. I told him, you know, John, mommy just does the happy mile walk in my bedroom. Mm. So you don't need
to go. Happy mile walk?
Oo, nga,
I-Google mo yun.
Ano yun? Happy ba talaga, tita?
It's an exercise, a walking exercise that you can do in the comfort of your home. Google nyo happy mile walk. Just click on the video and follow. It's just walking, you know, step right, step left, walk forward.
Or mindful walking.
Yeah. But it's very fun to do. Fun to do, and it's not boring. No? So I told him, you can just do that, no? If you can't go to the gym, do something. And then do something that, you know, it interests you. John loves to read books also, like me. So yun outlet din niya yun. So and then I told him, be genuinely interested also in people. Because sometimes pain has a way of making us just look at ourselves. Eh. Diba? Na I'm hurting, I'm feeling this way. Pero sabi ko, no, you have to look at, there are others who are also hurting out there, and they may need even your help. diba, hurting more than you are right now. So that kind of looking at others and how we can help them also helped. Also helped.
John's around what, 35, 36 now?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's 35 or 36.
Is he married?
Yes, he just got married.
So has this incident affected his marriage as a human, as a person, individual? Is he insecure, secure? How is he today?
Well, John today is very accomplished. Mm-hmm. He is what we call this consultant for the Ayala group of companies in charge of education.
Wow.
He's in charge of, I think, a section called
Strategy
for Transformation or something like that. No. Yon.
He's healed from this matter already.
Well, we cannot say that. Diba? As Dr. Ria said, he may be okay now, but further down the road,
if there's another trigger.
Another trigger can cause
a relapse.
You know, a relapse.
What has he said?
Well, so far he's good. So far he's okay. And he's happy. Because when he calls me, they always ask him, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, how happy are you today? So he'd say, I'm an 8, I'm a 9, you know. And then he'd tell me all these wonderful things happening to him. So, you know, that conversation, that relationship with the parent whom he can trust, yung sinasabi ni Doc Ria na safe place, diba? Which I know he also has with his wife. Yung safe place na he can talk to people he trusts, I think is very important to help people going through something like this. But for me personally, I also got anxiety attacks as a result of that experience.
Of course. How did you deal with that?
It's really the quiet prayer, the meditation. Talagang in silence and solitude, healing will happen. Because it's there where, you know, you just sit and become present to the great presence who is God. And you just allow Him to be the one to embrace you with His love. Kasi wala na eh. You know, Mateo, this is what I teach my children. You will face a lot of limit situations in your life. Mm-hmm. No? The kidnapping is one of them. Diba? It can be a heartbreak, like you said. You have had a relationship with someone for a long time, then finally one day it's over. Or maybe somebody passes away. You lose someone you love. Mm-hmm. Limit situations, yan eh. So how do you cope? How do you cope? Diba? So for me, quiet prayer is a beautiful way of coping with limit situations. And the constant practice of that, now the habit of praying, going to the silence of our hearts on a daily basis, it really helps. It really helps heal from within. It helps strengthen the fiber of our being. It renews us, rejuvenates us. It helps us look forward to another beautiful day. You know, it gives us hope that all is well and right. All will be well.
What's one thing you've learned after that 9 days abduction of your kids? What's one thing you'll never forget?
One thing I'll never forget is that the material blessings that we, all of us, aspire for to have because we think it will make us happy, diba? All the money in the world cannot. Ang mas mahalaga ay yung buhay ng mga taong mahal natin. Diba? Parents will always say, I work very hard for my family because I want to give them the best. But what do our children need? They actually need presence. Our presence. Mateo, I'm teaching you now a life lesson of a mother of 8. Ah. Diba? Mas mahalaga na nandun ka para sa anak mo. Nandun ka, nanonood ng kanyang soccer game. Nandun ka pag akyat niya sa stage at tinanong sila, what do you wanna be when you grow old? And my Marga says, I wanna be a baker. Palakpakan ng tao, you know? You're there when they receive their medals. You're there when they recite their poems. You're there when they need you. And for me, that's one great lesson.
No? Presence.
Presence. Presence is very important. More than anything. More than the material gifts we can give them. It's presence.
Just to be there. No?
Yes, to be there. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Ang ganda niyan. What's one thing your whole family's changed after that 9-day encounter? Did you heighten up your security? Did you do certain things differently?
Oh, yes. Senator Ping at the time continued to provide security for us after maybe for another two 2 weeks to a month, because there was a point when the children were invited to sing in Araneta for World Youth Day presentation or something. So we needed security for that. Yung mga ganon, magpapadala siya ng tulong, no? That kind of a friendship continued kahit papano through his top guy in the team, si Michael Ray Aquino. He was the one in charge of our case, eh.
Okay.
And tinulungan pa rin nila kami. Then afterwards, then we had to shift and then have our own security already.
No? But were you guys always looking behind your back, over the shoulder? Was it nakakapraning na?
Well, it's more like more alert, more careful. I think the knowledge that we are in this together, that we will take care of each other, made us secure. No, as a family. Our family became closer, actually.
Were these abductors caught?
2 of them, yes.
Just 2 of them?
Yes.
They were how many? 13, you said?
Yes, yes. I think they were 13. 11 to 13, if I'm not mistaken.
So they're in jail?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Did you?
We had to go through a court case, huh? Because they were arrested by the team of Senator Ping.
But did you ever find out why?
For money.
Just for money?
Yeah, they would always, that's what they'd always tell my boys. Walang personalan dito, ha, mga
bata. So you guys were a random pick or they planned this?
No, I think they planned it because they were casing the house, no? But they'd always say that to the children, it's just all about the money. We need the money. Yeah.
Your driver, si Paquera, how did he deal with that? Is he still with you?
He's gone a long time. Matagal na. He was also held captive together with the children.
And he was beaten up, you said.
He was beaten up. He was blindfolded the whole time. So he was very disoriented when they were released. So God bless his soul, no? I knew he went through a tough time too.
Oh, wala na siya. He passed away.
No. Okay. Andyan pa siya, pero ano na. Alam ko nahirapan din siya emotionally. Yeah.
So, Doc, what do you advise to these people that has gone through things like this? Things that maybe they don't want to talk about, things that they want to keep within because they're embarrassed to say. What's the solution?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the things are... The way they're like that is because also the stigma that we have about certain experiences. So we also have to transcend that as a nation, no? To really provide like a safe place where they can open up. But for the ones that they can control, they need to find a way to effectively cope. There's no timeline on healing. It could be a month, 6 months, a year, but don't be too hard on yourself. It's like the grieving process also. So, dapat aabot siya sa acceptance that there are things that cannot be changed because of the traumatic event. At marami yan, our military, our frontliners, they're all experiencing day in, day out a lot of stressors that sometimes it gets overwhelming.
Is it important to talk about it and say express it?
Yes, because the brain is processing when you are talking. If you're para more on the introvert type or you're parang reluctant, you could do journaling, but there should be a purposive. You have to do it in purpose to find a way to process it within your own self. Kasi if it's all negative thinking, if it's all bottled here, if it's all negative thinking, gagaling ka talaga with worrying. And then it would escalate. So mental health conditions are like that. It would escalate if we do not address it purposely. Yun. So acknowledging that, hey, I'm not okay, is effective for a start. And then find your way in order to heal, no? Pag may mga traumatic events. And right now, ang dami niyan. With the deaths here and there, it gets closer to home. 1 year after the pandemic, kilala mo na yung namatay, di ba? Kamag-anak mo na, friends. Last year, medyo statistics pa lang, numbers. But here in the pandemic, a lot of people are in the languishing state. Middle child yun ng mental health disorder and flourishing, which is mental wellness. So a lot of people parang have signs na parang okay naman sila, wala silang mental health disorder, pero you cannot say na completely okay din. No? They feel blah or parang may missing, may kulang. So if you're in the languishing state, find your way to parang repurpose. If you're yung parang, if you detox through traveling before and that's restricted now, try to be a plantita. You need to divert into certain coping mechanisms to survive, and it has to be balanced. Because if you keep on accepting stressors and it's not processed, your mental health will be challenged.
Doc, so during this pandemic now, we're approaching our next lockdown very soon. What's advice you can give our fellow kababayans on how to keep sane and focused and on an objective and not be lost?
That's so true. We've been here for more than a year, and things seems more uncertain more than ever. So if you are feeling distressed because of uncertainties, or you have fear about what's going to happen in the future, it's okay to experience that. Kasi when you suppress it, it's not gonna go away. It might manifest in another time, or you might displace it to another person. So daanan mo lang yung feelings. Kung takot ka, sige, okay lang, be scared. But at the end of the negative thoughts or feelings, hanap ka ng positive emotion. I'm scared, pero what could I be grateful for? I still have family, I'm alive. I have a good set of friends, for example. Or I'm scared of what will happen. Baka mawala na ako ng work. Yung finances ko is a mess. Pero what could I be hopeful for? In that way, your brain will process a negative and positive thinking methods. Kasi pag inclined sa negativity, didire-diretso yan. Unconsciously, you might be thinking already on a negative state. Tapos maapektuhan na yung feelings mo kasi connected yung thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. And then negative na rin yung behavior. Either mag-withdraw ka sa tao, or you'll create negative habits as well. So it's more of really be conscious on your thought patterns to begin with. Sometimes we, as Filipinos, no, we care so much with friends and family. Tas last priority ka. Pero in order to give, you need to take care of yourself. And that's not selfish. So really be aware. Okay, is this my stressors ba talaga? And then what could I do about it? If it's social media, refrain muna. If you see some statistics on COVID, you're scared. So parang try to limit lang by knowing what your stressors are. Yan.
Today, generation today is different from our generation. I can say we're the same generation.
I hope so.
It's different. You know, I have a 14-year-old brother. I see it's different.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are, they get information quicker. I may say they're more entitled. Parang they know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems like.
Okay.
But it's different. Our generation is very, very different. We're used to being disciplined a different way. These guys are quote-unquote softer. I get bashed by saying that, but yeah, I think they're a little softer. Kumbaga. You know, if you say something negative about them, they take it like you're attacking them, and it's doomed. They're doomed for it.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
But do you think they're less resilient, ba, or more prone to stress?
They're not as. They don't have grit as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yung gigil, yung bahala na, tirahin.
Yung parang, kahit ito, parang ilalaban, pag tayo, lalaban ko yan,
yeah,
di ba?
Yeah.
Or I'll think of ways to,
I mean,
to solve
I've
it.
Had employees, you know, like, I've had some employees before, young guys that are younger than me, mga 18, 19, that, you know, they have a hard time this week, they'll quit next week.
Mm-hmm.
Alam yan. Why is that?
This is Gen Z.
Yeah.
Sabi nila, Gen Zs are actually more intelligent. Okay. However, it's the resilience that needs to
I think they're, my brother's very smart.
Diba?
He gets information right away because of your mobile phone. Anyways, you were saying.
Mm-hmm. But however, it's the resilience that needs to be strengthened.
Right.
So, I'm not sure if the previous generation were protecting them more. That's why they're not as exposed to maybe how we are reared, no? But it's very important on how you were raised. So, yung mga parents dito, also try to parang let them go in a sense and experience things. Because sometimes, they might just be confined on certain areas that you could control lang. The environment is controlled. So, when that happens, we cannot develop certain social skills or yung grit, no? Or whatever they would need in life.
Especially now, social skills are down because of lockdowns.
The isolation and stuff.
So, how do you think that's going to affect everybody, especially kids?
There's a term called children of the pandemic.
Okay.
These are the kids right now that after the COVID-19, if everyone's okay now, we return back to society, we would still experience a lot of mental health issues with this generation. Because there are trust issues, there's isolation you need to deal with. So, it umpisa pa lang ito. So, what you're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg. So, all the more that we need to develop resilience, we need to develop awareness on our mental health. Kasi ano, marami pang after effects itong pandemic.
What do you think these after effects will be?
Social anxiety, for one. It's very unusual for a Filipino to develop social anxiety. But going back to communities, for example, after this is all over, would be a challenge for the children of the pandemic.
What does this mean? Socializing? Interacting
face-to-face
with people? Face-to-face interaction?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a problem there.
There might be a challenge. Because you grew up, certain number of years inside the house. So when I go back to school, when these are all over, how will I reconnect? So we're foreseeing issues on relationships. How am I going to be affectionate? Those are all restricted because of the pandemic. And it's not innate anymore. We're teaching them not to be innate. No, this is because you need to social distance. They need to unlearn all of those to be able to go back to society, and that might be challenging. There might be anxiety and depressive issues as well.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting and complicated.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep a balanced lifestyle, Doc? As a professional, as a doctor, how do you advise your clients to have a balanced lifestyle?
Mm-hmm. Wow, balance is such a thing that everyone would want to achieve. And with the implications of the pandemic, how will we find balance amidst this chaos, no? But we just tell our patients, our clients, to really find yourself and what you're comfortable with. So, for example, work from home. You work there, and then that's also your safe place for family and sleeping. It's all jumbled na now. Like, I can't see my house now without thinking about work, for example, and that makes me panic, for example. So find, you need to departmentalize, be conscious, like, okay, this is just my workspace. Pagdating na dito, it's my Netflix area, or this is where I would spend time with family. You need to create a certain mechanism wherein you need to still direct your life. Kasi minsan, it's all jumbled. Yun.
That's so important. No? Mm-hmm. So going to work over Zoom with your boxers is not
good. Yeah.
It's still important to dress.
Yes.
It changes.
Put some structure pa din.
Yeah, it still changes the whole feeling of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. But all through these years, you've obviously, you know so much, you've developed so much wisdom, experience, and all of that. For if you could give advice to somebody like me, somebody just got married the first year and dreaming and praying for many kids like yourself. What's some advice you could give me and my wife and people like us?
Well, enjoy your time together. Enjoy your time together. I think this time with one another is precious. And whatever you are blessed with, you know, make the most of it. Make the most of it. And take time to really be grateful for every little thing, you know. This is one spiritual practice for business success that I teach. Gratitude. Gratitude, no? As she said, we are faced with so much negativities around us, no? You might even see something in your wife that, ay, ganyan pala siya. But you have to look at, ay, ito pala siya.
The diba? Bigger picture.
You have to look at what is good in her. What makes her special, the kindness of the heart, no? Because we are all human. We have our frailties. We have our weaknesses. But as she said, what we focus on will grow. It gets magnified. Let's not focus on the negative. Let's focus on the positive. Let's always look for what is beautiful in the hearts and souls of others, especially your wife, which madami.
Madami. Eh, lahat.
Diba?
Ako lang yung mali. Siya hindi.
Madami. So yun ang advice ko sa inyo.
You have a book, right?
Well, I was part of a global woman book called Women in the Modern Business World. This is a book written by 13 women from all over the world. I wrote one chapter.
Wow.
And the title of the chapter is Rising with Grit and Grace, from mother of eight to CEO. And there I tell the story of John, diba? Yung experience niya with the kidnapping, how quiet prayer helped us heal. I also told the story of Chrissy. That's another interesting story.
Chrissy is
the youngest. Okay. Yung pet ni Rhea.
Yeah.
That's topic for another talk.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Chrissy is a dog?
No. Last, number eight.
Number eight child.
Chrissy.
Her favorite.
Favorite
ni Rhea yun, okay. Anak ko. No? So that's topic for another podcast.
That's interesting. And yeah, there's a lot of empowered women today.
Yeah.
Super scary. In a good way. So thank you very much for your time today. Very interesting and a lot of lessons learned, you know, and maraming salamat for your time, Tata. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be learning a lot. Doc, thank you also. Before we leave, is there one thing you could share to everybody? Just amidst this pandemic, how do you keep centered and balanced? I know balance is a hard and very broad word, but how do you keep centered and sane amidst all of this?
Yeah, we all need to cope. But what's good about it, about being human, we have this capability not to adapt, and to survive. That's why we're still here as a species. So find that certain voice inside you na, okay, I could be helpless right now, but at the end of the day, I will always try to find a way for balance. Your balance, may it be through prayer, may it be through emotional connections, may it through being a plantita or taking care of pets. You need to find yourself amidst all the chaos, and it has to be purposive. It's literally, when you wake up, I need to decide, okay, I will try to find balance today by doing this and that.
Balance.
Yep.
Thanks, Doc.
Yep. Thank you, Mateo.
With closing this, what's one thing you could advise young couples that you could have done before? Or maybe you know now that you could tell people like us or younger?
Yeah. Well, my advice to young couples is seriously look at how can we raise positive children in a negative world. And the key to that is we start with being. You know, the principle of be, do, have. I always share this. We have to be first. And that means we have to be the parent they're looking for. We have to be more loving, be more kind, more understanding. So you can have this, diba? So yun ang advice ko sa mga don't look at the pandemic situation as a glass half empty. Look at it as a glass half full, you know. Let's look for opportunities amidst the crisis. There's so many beautiful things we can do. The world needs us today, diba? So let's just go out there, give hope and give love.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Let's be, give hope, and give love. Maraming salamat, Tita. Doc, thank you very much for your time.
Also.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Salamat.
Thank you.
Thank you.